Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. 4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
Some people have a knack for making friends, others for making bodies disappear. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Broski.
We've all been there. A rush to get out of the house, and where is your wallet or your purse? You're looking all the places where you thought you left it, and in that frantic rush, you just don't see it. So you head out anyway. You got to get on with your day. You have no choice. You got to go. When you're out that day, you go buy another wallet or a purse to replace the one that you think maybe you lost. But eventually you get back home and there it is, right where you thought you left it, right where you thought you were looking, right where you were looking. But amongst all the other stuff, it somehow was missed. You didn't catch it at the time. But you got the new wallet now or the new purse, so, well, you know, this old one, it's fine, even though it's been there the whole time. It's actually really what you wanted. It's really what you were needing. But, you know, we're on another track here. We got the new thing to go with. That seems to be what may have happened in the Delphi murder case and the eventual conviction of Richard Allen. Well before Richard Allen was ever charged with a crime, he was just working for CVS. No history of any sort of crimes or abuse or really any criminal history. But there were other people in town that did. Other people found to be very close to the crime, like the bodies on his property. And a history of abuse and manipulation and even a jailhouse confession to the murder of Liberty German and Abigail Williams. His name is Ron Logan. He's dead, in case you were like, let's get him. He's dead. But he certainly is a character in that case that raises a bit more than just eyebrows. What kind of investigation did they do into him? And why didn't they go further? Why did they eventually set their sights on Richard Allen, who actually, when they said, hey, we need tips. If anybody was out at the bridge, can you tell us if you were there? What did you see? He raised his hand and said, yes, I was there. How can I help? Here's what I saw. Normally, if you're the person who murdered somebody, you're not the first to raise your hand and go, let me tell you about the place and where everything was and what I saw. He obviously didn't have anything to do with the murder, at least at that time is how he was describing it. He was there just to try to be a good citizen, a good neighbor, try and help people find out what happened to these little girls. Meanwhile, you got Ron Logan, He looks a little suspicious. But for whatever reason, Delphi doesn't investigate very hard onto this. He's been there forever. His family has been there forever. He's in the house that he's been in for 50-some years. And in tight-knit, small communities, sometimes you look over the obvious places where you should be looking, because you just assume, well, it couldn't be that person, it couldn't be this person, it must be this other guy who's kind of new to town. He's certainly not one of the legacy folks who have generations and generations there. Must be him. Must be somebody else, despite all the evidence that's pointing towards the guy who's been there. Where the girls' bodies were found. Couldn't be this guy. Well, Ron Logan's ex is speaking out now about her experiences with Ron before the girls were murdered. And the story she tells is pretty convincing, pretty disturbing, kind of shocking as to why he wasn't looked at further. She sat down and talked to Ashley Banfield on News Nation just the other night, and we're going to break apart some of that interview. And we're also going to take a look at some clips from Crime Nation, where they did an interview with her not that long ago as well, telling her story of Ron Logan. Let's start with just the other night and Ashley's conversation with the ex of Ron Logan and why she feels he might be the guy who committed this crime. Let's take a look.
Yeah, I know his property. You know, it's just, I'm just going with my gut feelings, just the kind of person he is, you know. He manipulated a lot of people. He manipulated my family, and it was hard to get away from him.
So he's a cantankerous, manipulative old man. That doesn't make anybody a killer, necessarily. Unless you add another element to it. You know, what else did he do? Was he just kind of, Or was he capable of doing things others are not? Violence against other people. People that you supposedly love and care about. And how was he with kids? Is there any sort of weirdness there? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you are out somewhere and you see somebody who's just being a little bit too touchy-feely, or maybe way too touchy-feely, with a little boy or a little girl. It's not their own, and it just feels wrong. But you're kind of a deer in the headlights sometimes going, what the hell's going on here? She talks about a situation where Ron sold a horse to a 13-year-old girl down the road, and it led to an argument. Because, well, it's kind of creepy.
Can I ask you, did he ever have any interest in young girls? Did he show any predilection towards young girls when you were his girlfriend?
Yes. He sold a horse to a girl who didn't live too far from there. And she was 13, actually. And he was touchy-touchy with her, and she'd bring her horse, ride her horse over and stuff, and I just thought that was inappropriate, but I think I know we've gotten fights over that, you know? It's like, oh, I ain't hurt nothing. I'm just trying to help her out. And, you know, I don't know. It just didn't feel right with me.
Probably wouldn't feel right with most people. You know, when something's kind of off, but you feel trapped, which is what she felt. And she's said that in interviews. But she stayed for a while until one thing happened that really showed the length that Ron Logan was willing to go to control her, his ex. Take a listen to this. This is an interview that was done with Crime Nation recently, talking about that very experience.
One day, he had been working on putting a new door on a basement cellar, and I said I wanted to break it off with him. And out of the blue, he hit me over the head with the crescent wrench. And I remember taking off, running to my vehicle, and I remember falling to the ground. And I was afraid he was going to hit me again.
I was able to get on my hands and knees and I crawled away. I got to my vehicle and I was able to leave, and then I felt the blood running down my face. I barely remember the drive to the doctor's office, which is only a few miles to Delphi, and had seven staples put in my head. But I actually went to my sister's after that. I'm lucky I got out of that situation, but it took a long time.
That kind of changes things from being a controlling, narcissistic, kind of shitty old person to I have the capability of taking a crescent wrench and slamming it against your skull without regard. You could die, but I'm going to take that chance. He's capable of doing that. Well, anybody's capable of that. No, they're not. They're not. Some people have that ability, some do not, and it would never, ever cross their minds unless they were in some sort of horrible danger and they were fighting for their life. This is not that. So a man has the propensity to do that, potentially kill his girlfriend, and has a history of violence and a record, and two girls are discovered dead on his property. Suspicious, but still doesn't quite make a murderer. Or does it? After she left, the story of Abigail Williams and Liberty German broke, the two young girls' bodies discovered on Ron Logan's property. And it got some attention, you could say. Certainly made her think about everything in that relationship. Who was this man? The ways that he abused and controlled her. Could he have been the person who did this? And then a video came out, the infamous Bridge Guy video, where there's a man that looks like Ron Logan, walks like Ron Logan, and even sounds like Ron Logan, captured. But nobody went and got Ron Logan. Nobody charged Ron Logan. No. He was like, we're not quite sure about this. And about to play you is a voice comparison, and this was done by Inside Edition and also broadcast in Crime Nation. It's going to be the Bridge Guy video where you're going to hear him say, down the hill. And right after that, you're going to hear Ron Logan speaking in a television interview. This, to me, was striking. It's one of, I think, the clearest layman examples of the voices side by side and sounding alike, far more than the Richard Allen comparison. Because you have visuals, you have audio, you have everything. And I tell you what, after you watch Ron Logan a little bit in interviews and you watch Bridge Guy, you kind of go, that's likely the same guy. But Delphi police didn't think so, or they didn't want to think so, or they were covering for somebody, or they're, I don't know. I don't know what happened. But the evidence seems to point more towards Ron Logan being the infamous Bridge Guy a hell of a lot more than Richard Allen. I'll play this twice. Take a listen. And you tell me what you think in the comments.
What do you hear on there?
Nothing that I recognize at all. No one. I don't recognize the voice at all.
Wow. That's your voice.
Let's play it one more time.
What do you hear on there?
Nothing that I recognize at all. No one. I don't recognize the voice at all.
Wow. That's your voice.
It's a pretty stark statement to make, if you will, saying, no one I know. Don't recognize the voice at all. It's like, it's because it's your voice. It's one thing, like, that doesn't sound familiar. But I find it interesting, the very stark, the very full stop. Don't recognize the voice at all. Okay. That's your response. People react to things differently. Does look a little bit odd. Once she realized that, oh my God, I think I might have been sleeping with a man who killed these girls, and thank God I got out of there alive, she called the Delphi police. And here's what happened.
When I called in the tip line, I didn't get a call back. So I reached out to our local sheriff's department, and actually, they came here. They heard my story.
And did what once they heard your story?
I did. I called in. I called in three or four times, actually. I called in before I even seen that, the picture that's showing right now. And I know the way he walks, and I know he's built, and to me, that looked exactly like him. I mean, even when I seen the voice, you know, it sounded just like him.
So you have someone who spent a good deal of time with Ron Logan, knows him probably better than a lot of folks in the area, escapes possible death after being hit in the head with a wrench, gets away, ends the relationship, and then finds out there's two dead girls on the property. And she's calling police, has to call four or five times to get a call back. You know, sounds like a really active investigation, or one that's really looking for details on who might actually be behind this. After her constant pleading to have somebody come and hear my story, they did. Nothing happened. Ron Logan eventually went away for other charges. He's never been charged in this case, and probably never will be. He's dead. But while he was still alive, he allegedly made a confession in jail about the murder. Now, how would a jury convict somebody else when you have this? You have a girlfriend stating all these facts. She has no reason to be coming out and saying these things. She's not looking for fame. She's trying to do the right thing, raising her hand and helping, saying, hey, I think I have some information for you. Kind of like Richard Allen did. Hey, I think I might have some information for you. I was hiking that day. Luckily, they didn't blame the murder on her. They picked Richard Allen instead. Despite this happening.
I think, you know, once you're off of alcohol, you know, you dry out a little bit, you know, you can get a guilty. You know, you needed somebody to talk to. I think probably even broke from that, you know. And maybe he trusted that guy. You know, he wasn't going to be out of prison for quite a while. So, you know, I mean, what did he have to lose? You know,
he confessed in jail to a fellow inmate. Now, jailhouse confessions, not always the most accurate, the most reasonable, the most stand-up things. And someone else in jail saying, hey, I heard this confession from this guy. Sometimes there's strings attached where, hey, if I tell you this, maybe I get something. This doesn't really appear to be the case, though. When you add it all together, how can you be so sure that Richard Allen is your guy? And we may not have the smoking gun on Ron Logan, but there seems to be a hell of a lot more things pointing that way than anywhere else. Which is why Richard Allen's attorneys have now begun the appeal process in court, saying that Allen was subject to unconstitutional pretrial conditions. Being in solitary confinement in prison while he should have been in the county jail. They say the isolation and inadequate mental health care probably led to his coerced confessions that Richard Allen made in jail. The defense also contends that the court's refusal to change the trial venue, despite extensive local media coverage, compromised the impartiality of the jury. Additionally, they assert that the prosecution withheld exculpatory evidence, such as that confession. And there are procedural errors, including false testimony regarding the case's timeline and mishandling of forensic evidence. These concerns have now formalized in a motion to correct errors, aiming to overturn Allen's conviction and seek a new trial. Oh, there's another person involved in this, too. His name's Keegan Klein. He is someone who was actually communicating with one of the girls on social media. He's what you call a child predator who went away for that shortly after. Because he had a lot of stuff on his phone that was child predator related. He also, by the way, had plans to meet one of the girls the very day they died. So there's that too. But no, he cannot possibly be connected to this. No way. Not a thing. Let's go with a CVS guy with no record. That seems right. Is this a conspiracy? Is this something where they didn't want to put behind bars somebody that had been in the community for a long time? Somebody they knew? Was there a buddy thing going on here? Or do they just not want to believe it? That maybe somebody from the community did this, who's been there a very long time, and they just kind of had their blinders on. It's like looking for that wallet when you're frantically looking for something that you think is odd in your community. You're not necessarily looking closely at all the things that you normally see that are features of comfort, if you will. Your friends, your family, your community. Something else has to be at play here. And once they went down that road and put those blinders on, Richard Allen was the target, and it seemed that nothing was going to change that conviction on the part of investigators. And the judge eventually, too. The judge who actually fired his attorneys midway through. And then they got him back after the Supreme Court said, you can't do that. So here we are, waiting for appeals, see where this goes. It's going to take years. It's going to take more time, and Richard Allen, already as fragile as he is, will now be in prison for the rest of his life, unless something changes. Unless more evidence comes out, or maybe just gets a fair trial, which did not happen the first time. Makes you wonder, will more people come out? Do more people have stories? Not just about Richard Allen and there's kind of nothing there other than he worked at CVS, was a father, and did his life without any sort of police intervention or killing kids. Are more people going to come out talking about Ron Logan, sharing their interactions, their stories, without fear of reprisal? It'll be very interesting to watch, but after this, I think we have to truly, truly assume, at least I will going forward, that the real bridge guy is Ron Logan. What do you think? Tell me in the comments. Love to hear your reaction to the story that seems to never quite end.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
Well, I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free Select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.